John chapter 6, verse 52, said, "The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say to you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What then if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him." By the way, he still knows that. Amen. I don't know everybody's going to get saved. That's not my responsibility. I try to sow seed anywhere I can, witness to folks, but the Lord already knows. He knows everything. Amen. And I'm not no Calvinist. Amen. God didn't make me get saved, but he made me want to. You ever wonder why he didn't get saved before he got saved? I never did think about it till I thought about it. Missed some of you right there. I can't explain all that. I've asked myself, could I have gotten saved before I got saved? If I could, or why didn't I? I don't have the answer. I can tell by looking at most of y'all, you don't have the answer. I'm just glad I got in, ain't you? You explain it, amen. Well, so much for that. That didn't cost you nothing, amen. He said in verse 65, and he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man could come to me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, and he was that should betray him, and being one of the 12. Lord, we thank you for the good day. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here. Kindness of this church, this pastor, nice motel room, Lord. Just good fellowship this afternoon after the service. And then we're back here again tonight. Please help us, Lord. Please touch us and use us afresh. Give us liberty in the Holy Ghost to preach. Help us now and deliver these thoughts. And you'd speak to us, Lord, through this simple thought tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I'm not going to elaborate on all of these verses, but I do want you to go back. Simple thought tonight. From, eating his flesh, drinking his blood, and Catholicism is totally perverted and twists all this out of context, but that's beside the point. Here in verse 66, he said, "From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, we also go away. Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." I want to use that verse 66 here. Disciples, you know, that's somebody that's following the Lord. He said, "From that time, many disciples went back and walked no more with him." You could say they become has-beens. The last thing I want to be as a Christian is a has-been. Amen. Last thing I want somebody to say or talk about me is how I used to serve the Lord. Amen. And you know, here, Paul writing about Timothy in the book of Philemon, about Demas, he said, Demas has forsaken me. In the book of Philemon, he said, Demas is called a fellow laborer there. Amen. But in 2 Timothy 4, he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica. At one time, Demas was a fellow laborer. Somebody you could depend on, run around with the great Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Bible preachers that ever lived. So he couldn't say he wasn't getting fed. Amen. And he rubbed shoulder. He said he's a fellow laborer. He was somebody you could depend on being there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Amen. If you had some special project that was going to cost more than the normal tithe and offering, he'd dig deeper and be willing to give. And if you was building a building, he'd get roll up his sleeves and grab him a mattock or a shovel and get down in the mud with you. He was a fellow laborer. He's somebody that you could depend on at one time. But something happened to him. Amen. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica. I believe Demas was a saved man, and still a saved man. Amen. You know, Demas become a has-been, you could say. Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should become a castaway. Paul was concerned about messing up his testimony, that he'd have no more effect. Amen. And folks wouldn't want to hear what he had to say because he become a castaway. I do not want to become a has-been. I believe I picked the wrong message, but I'm too far into it to back out now. Amen. Amen. You know, I think it's John 15. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. My Father's a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purges it to bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, ye the branch. He that abideth me and I in him, the same shall go forth and bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit shall remain. Whatsoever, and then he goes on to say, so then shall you be my disciples. As my Father's loved me, so have I loved you. Continue thou my love. Amen. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken unto you, that your joy might be full, and that my joy might remain in you. And this is my commandment, you love one another as I have loved you. For greater love have no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, but I've called you friends. Amen. And all things I've heard of my Father I've made known to you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you go and bring forth fruit. Amen. Your fruit shall remain. Whatsoever you ask my Father my name, he may give it to you. Could I get an amen there? Amen. You didn't choose him. You wasn't looking for him. For some unknown reason, he came by where you was at and turned the light on down in your soul. Amen. Amen. And he expects us to finish the race right. Amen. You know, I like old cars. Amen. I like old cars. If you don't like old cars and guns, you're a socialist. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. My wife will say, yeah, you got a gun. I said, I seen a bigger gun. Hallelujah. I don't shoot things and hang them on the wall. I just like to watch stuff blow up. Hallelujah. Amen. I like old cars. As I'm 70 years old, I do a little better now financially, and I can buy a little better car now than I used to. But I've always tried to take care of what I had. Whether it was a junker or whether it was a newer car, I try to take care of it. Back years ago, I don't like a rattle in my car or a ping. I don't like an oil leak. Amen. It just drips a little bit on the sidewalk. Amen. And you think the thing's blowed up. And soon as that thing acts that way, I take it down to Virgil. He's a Christian brother, works on cars. I said, Virgil, this car's rattling. He said, I can't hear it. You need to get some hearing aid, Virgil, if you can't hear that. He said, and he'll laugh at me. He'll say, you and your brother-in-law, he's a preacher, my brother-in-law. He said, you and him are just total opposite. When you get a little rattle, a little ping, or a little leak in your vehicle, you come right down here and get it fixed. We have to call him in here on the back of a wrecker. Spiritually speaking, I'd rather get on an altar and fix the little rattles and little pings and little spiritual leaks in this vehicle as have God roll me in my church in the back of a hearse and somebody talk about how I used to run. I'm telling you, my question is tonight, how's your vehicle running?
Oh, I know. You're not going to have to go home and look in your Greek lexicon or your dictionary to understand what I got to say. Yeah, if you don't understand what I got to say, we'll take you to the Social Security office. You qualify for some financial assistance. Hallelujah. Amen. Right down here where the rubber meets the road. But you know, like old cars. Amen. 1957 Chevrolet two-door, nothing like it. Nothing. 1955 two-door, 32 Ford Coupe. Amen. No offense, ladies, but when you get 70, ain't nothing no prettier than one of them. Hallelujah. Amen. I like to watch that Barrett Jackson. I know probably some of you blowed your television up. And my preacher, Brother Wells, I used to go before my boy took this church. He said he'd rather have a rattlesnake in his house. And I'd get convicted and I'd go home and throw one of mine out. But truth of the matter is, I like to watch that Barrett Jackson auto auction. You know, when they run them cars that's 50, 60, 70 years old, run through there under all them lights, look like you could stick your hand in the paint, and they open the door, inside of that thing's rolled and pleated. They got this mirror that runs up and down underneath it. The part that most people can't see. You know what God sees that nobody else can see? Amen. And underneath that thing, it looks as good on the underneath as it does on top. And then that old boy will raise the hood and the chrome will just blind you, and he'll talk about how it runs. He said this thing will run better, faster now than it did. It looks better, runs better than when I found it. That's the way we ought to want to be. We want to shine better, look better, amen, than when we started. How am I doing right here, amen? I'm just telling you, amen, I love old cars, amen. I was coming up out of Mississippi doing a prison meeting one time, and I just noticed a big dual axle Dodge truck with a New York tag on it, and I was hoping he was headed home. Hallelujah. Amen. But on the back of that truck, he had this trailer with a 59 two-door big fin Chevrolet that had some honeysuckles and briars hanging out of the window. The tires had rotted off of it, and the windows was busted out of it, but the body was pretty slick, had a little rust on it, and he was smiling. On side of that truck of his, it had his name and had a body shop name, and he was smiling. Amen. And he'd found something down there in the junkyard or in somebody's field or old shed. Amen. It didn't look like it's worth much to me, but I didn't know how to put the touch on it. Am I doing any good right here? He's headed back up north, and I thought to myself, if I could find him after a year or two, I'd like to see that car after he put that touch on it. You know, I look pretty bad the day I got saved. The world and the weeds of this world about choked me to death. I didn't look like much then, and I may not look like much to you now, but God's still working on me, thank God Almighty, and we ain't home yet, amen. We're not home yet. Amen. How's your vehicle running? Amen. Amen. You know the purpose of a vehicle, this is going to miss some of you, its simple reason is to get you from one location to another. You know why God didn't kill you the minute you got saved, take you on to heaven? Because we're the vehicle that God uses to get people on the way to hell and get them on the way to heaven. Because we're the body, he's the head, and we're to carry out the work that God's got us to do. Amen. Amen. I'm doing any good right here. Amen. You know, somebody mentioned Billy Mitchell, preacher Billy Mitchell to me this morning. Great preacher. Amen. He's in heaven. One of my wife's favorite preacher. Then she'll say that, and then she'll say, besides you. Amen. And I know that's just a cover. But Billy Mitchell lived over in Jamestown, Tennessee, on Highway 57, going up through Jamestown, Tennessee, into Kentucky. And on that road right near his house, they had this fella had a, we call them junkyards, used to, but they're not no more. They use auto parts. You go buy some, you'll find that it ain't junk. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I noticed all these old cars over there in that field with honeysuckles and weeds. I'm talking about went way back. They say that man won't even sell none of those. He just won't even sell any of it. I guess it's a gold mine. He's waiting on it to pay off. But I've often thought as I go up through there, all them old antique cars sitting over there, some of them look still pretty good and rust on them a little bit, windows busted out, tires. And I've often thought to myself, wonder how they ended up. You know, some cars you'll see sometime, a brand new car tore all to pieces because it had what we call an accident. You know, dropped a cigarette, cell phone, whatever, bent down to get it, bang, ended up in the junkyard. Amen. Folks in our Baptist churches like to call themselves, when they get messed up, accidents. It ain't an accident, amen. It's carelessness. But most of them vehicles ended up in that so-called junkyard because of simple neglect, lack of maintenance. You know what we do on Sunday at church? Preventive maintenance. Amen. In that ride, we try to fix the leaks and the rattles and the pains. Amen. Am I doing any good? Amen. I know nowadays you don't see what you call used to. Before they had all the interstate highways and you travel these state routes, they you could see all these old cars. And I'm for, you know, a fence over them. But, you know, they've got carried away with this global warming trash and going green and save the spotted owl and all that stuff. Amen. I'm for shooting, cutting down the trees to shoot all the owls. Who cares? There's not going to be one animal missing in that millennial kingdom that God don't mean to be there. Not one animal. Amen. How am I doing there? You notice how gas is going back up real quick? Since the socialists have got it? Hey, how am I doing there? Surely nobody here voted that way. Don't shake my hand if you did. Amen. I got enough trouble now. I don't need that on me. Amen. That went over real big. You remember back a few years ago when gasoline went up about $4 a gallon? It's bubbling out of the ground up in Alaska. Bubbling. Ain't that one of our states? Amen. Somebody said, well, we don't want to drill up there. I don't want to mess up the environment for the polar bear. Have you seen one lately? I like to look at them. I do too through a scope. Shoot them. Amen. Get us some cheap gas down here. Hallelujah. Well, that helped you, didn't it? Amen. Where was I at? Hey, simple fact here. Just a little simple thought. How do you know when you're headed back to the junkyard? How do you know when a car is headed back to the junkyard? Hey, one thing, a simple little thought. When a car starts missing, amen. Not forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as a man of some men, exhorting one another even so much more as we see the day approaching. When I got saved, this little old lady, she couldn't carry a tune in a 5-gallon bucket, but she'd sing and she had a touch of God on her. She'd take her shoes off in church. She's a little backwood woman and have her socks on. I remember her coming up to me when I got off the altar and said, son, one of the main things, the main ingredient to this thing, just be here. Always be here. Just be here. Don't miss. Amen. The Bible said, I think it Jeremiah said, if you've run with the footmen, they weary. How are you going to contend with horses? If in the land of peace, when thou trusted weary, how are you going to do in the swelling of Jordan? If the little things knock you out of the race, what are you going to do when you face a real problem? Amen. The little old things. Amen. Amen. What are you going to do when you walk in a clinic somewhere, got a little knot or growth on you, and you just think it's nothing, and the doctor tells you got terminal cancer, and you got 6 months to live? Who are you going to get to pray for you? They're not going to pray for you out there in the world. Am I doing any good here? Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. That's why we go to church. I love it, don't you? Amen. I know we're down here in Florida, but I'd rather go to church at Disney World. Now, I've been over there 2 times, my first and last. Am I doing right there? And the only reason I went then, because I didn't want to pay alimony. Hallelujah. Amen. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happily married, but trust and obey. So, amen. So, amen. Years ago, amen, I didn't have no money, didn't plan nothing. We just took off, took the boy. He's just a little fella, you know. And my wife, I said, we need to take the boy somewhere a few days. I said, I ain't got no money. She said, oh, yeah, I've seen your rat hole that money. Every real man's got some money hid from his wife. That's that gun money. He's confessing right there, right now. No. And okay, so you say, okay. Let's take him to Disney World. That's 500 or 600 miles where I live. Takes me 2 days to get there. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. $65 a head to go back in to see that. To go in and look at a guy dressed up in a dog suit called Goofy. He's not Goofy. You're the Goofy one. Hey, man, I got news for you. Then you get 3 of them hot dogs, been under that sun lamp for 8 days, 2 Coca-Colas, that's $28. That's a sin against God. And then you ride that roller coaster in the dark. I forget, Space Mountain, something. Hey, man, makes you throw up the hot dogs and the Coke. Hey, man, what a wonderful time. And by the time you get back home, you're talking about divorce. I'd rather go to church. Hallelujah, amen. I'm doing right there. Amen. I'm just, where was I at? Amen. I love this pandemic thing has really affected us. It really has me. I tell you, for a while there, we didn't get to go, and watching somebody on Facebook or to Facebook or whatever it is, amen, and all that stuff, it just ain't the same. It just doesn't do the same thing for you. Amen. I love it, don't you? Amen. I just do. Amen. God put that in me. Amen. You know, if God found us in the junk heap, don't you think we ought to get our brothers out of the heap when we see them headed that way? I think it's Luke 10, 25. A certain lawyer stood up, tempted him, said, Master, what good things must I do to inherit life? He said, what's written in the law? How readest thou? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength, and thy neighbors thyself. He said, thou hast answered right. This do and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, even half dead. By chance there came a priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he come to the place, looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, went to him, bound up his wound, poured in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, took out 2 pence, gave them the whole, said, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which now these three was neighbor him, fell among the thieves. He that showed mercy on him, and he said, go and do thou likewise. Amen. Don't you think? It's our responsibility when we see a brother or sister that hadn't been to church in a few Sundays or 2 or 3 Sundays. It ain't just the preacher that ought to call him when he can. But don't you think it'd be good for you and I to try to get him up out of the ditch, put a little oil and wine in him, get him back over to the house of God? Am I doing any good right here? Hey, I love it. I'm glad God's had people that come and got me when I got sidetracked. Amen. Galatians said, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest ye also be tempted. Then he said, bear you one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Well, that point didn't help you, but I got some more. Hallelujah. Amen. When a car starts missing, you know when a car starts missing, them older cars, most of the time it meant it had a foul plug. I've met some Baptists that had foul plugs. Amen. Amen. And you know when a car fouls a plug, it loses power. And it holds up traffic. Amen. And the rest of us have to get out and push them out of the way that we can go on. Amen. So we don't. Your church keeps that power in you. Amen. Keep you running right. Amen. I love it. Amen. Some of y'all looking at me like I'm nuts. I'm not. I'm just passing through. Don't quit coming here. I'm not a permanent fixture. I'm just passing through. If you're visiting, come back. He's a holy man. Amen. I'm just trying to preach to you. Hey, when a car starts missing. Hey, when a car starts knocking, it's headed to the junkyard. When a car starts knocking. I used to have an old Volkswagen. And you had to get the valves adjusted every now and then. Only cost $20, $15, $20. They'd get to chattering if you didn't. I've heard that around Baptist churches, people chattering. James said, my brother, be not many master, no one will receive a greater condemnation for many things we offend all. If any man offend not in words, the same as a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ship, though they be so great and are driven in fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor. Even so the tongue is a little member, boasts great things. How great a matter though fire kindled, and the tongue is a fire in a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, defile the whole body and set on fire course of nature. For every kind of bird, beast, serpent, things in the seas tame, have been tamed to mankind, but the tongue can no man tame, for it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and curse we man, which is made after similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear forth olive herbs, or a vine fig? So can no fountain bowl yield salt water and fresh. I ought to get an amen out of you right there. Help me, amen. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to, I know you don't have no trouble with your mouth. I struggle with mine, you can tell. God give me 2 rows of teeth, 2 jaw muscles, half a brain, and I still got to spit out that poison. How am I doing right there? I'm just being honest, amen. That's just the way it is. Don't look at me like you don't have no trouble with yours. There's too much in here about it. Amen. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteous God. Amen. We all have trouble. Amen. You know, $15, $20, get your vows adjusted. A little trip to the altar, a little humility, swallow your pride. If you don't get them vows adjusted, it ain't going to be long. You're going to have a rod knocking. You ladies don't have no idea what I'm talking about. And by the way, we didn't want to marry a mechanic anyhow. Amen. Just tell you the truth. Amen. I sure didn't want to marry nobody that looked like Joyce Myers. Did you? Hallelujah. Amen. I sure did. Somebody needs to teach her how to wear a lipstick. She looks like the Joker. I really do. Well, that really good. Well, some of y'all must send her some money lately. Hey, the truth of the matter is, we all have trouble with that. I've been shot. I've been cut open with a knife, and my intestines left my hand, been beat with logging chains. That happened at the last church I pastored. That was a tough bunch. No, I'm just kidding. That all happened to me, but it didn't happen at church. It happened because I stood up when I should have shut up. We all have trouble with that. Amen. We all do. Amen. We could go to the altar on that right there. You know, our tongue is what gauges us. These charismatics, you know, God gifted tongues. I need no gift of tongues. I need a bridle one, Philip said, for the one I got. Hey, your tongue is what guards you. Amen. I met a lot of men in prison, and all that. They're in there for life or end up killing somebody, and all started with just a word here and a word there, and that thing intensified and tempers flew. Next thing you know, somebody is dead. It started out with words. Hey, your tongue is what guides you. Amen. Your tongue can destroy. It can cause division. It can deaden. It can defile. We ought to use our tongue to exalt Christ, educate saints, edify saints. Amen. And evangelize the world. Amen. That's what God gave it to us for. Amen. Y'all still out there? I'm trying to hurry. I really am. Hey, when your car starts missing, you head to the junkyard. When your car starts knocking, you head to the junkyard. Hey, when your transmission starts slipping, you're headed to the junkyard. That's the part of the car that transfers the power from the motor through the drivetrain, even through the front wheel or back wheel drive, and shoots that car forward. Amen. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I like a zealous car. I like to be out in front of the pack when I'm driving. I got caught a couple of years for being a little zealous. I need me a priest up here to confess my sins to. I was about 20 miles from my house and been gone for a week. I never understood 55-mile-an-hour zone on a four-lane highway. If you can't stay in at 70-mile-an-hour and the four, you don't need to be on the road. Amen. You know, these cars, they'll get away from you without you if you're not paying much attention. And I was eager to get home. And boy, there's nothing no more frightening than a Tennessee State Trooper car. It'll make your heart rate go up, your blood pressure, put fear in you. And I met one of them. He bowed up. I knew, uh-oh. I knew he's after me because I was the only one on the road. I seen him turn, come at me. Don't look at me now. I didn't commit adultery. I was just speeding. That's all I was doing. And here he come, and I just pulled on over the side of the road. And I said, Lord, this is the truth. I said, Lord, I'm guilty. But I sure would appreciate a little mercy right here. Don't you? We're guilty. I like mercy. I got my license out, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and I said, huh, I'll believe I know him. That'll help you. Hey, man, he got upside my car, rolled the window down. I knew him. I named about 25 family members I knew and used to work with. Hey, man, and my wife used to work with his wife at a medical lab, and I run all that off. He got to laughing. I said, you're going to give me a ticket. He said, get on out of here, preacher. Hey, man, thank God for mercy. Hey, man, hallelujah. Zealous. When I was protesting global warming years ago, I used to think it's sissy to use hairspray until I started going on bald. Too late for you, son. Too late for you. Hallelujah. So when I get up in the morning and spray my hair, I spray the rest towards the ozone. Here, Al Gore, you crook. I wish he's from Florida. I hate he's from Tennessee. Amen. Amen. But I had this big 8-cylinder Mercury. Boy, that thing go, about went broke doing that. Amen. I drive me a little 4-cylinder Toyota now. Amen. I ain't protesting nothing. I'm just trying to get home in that thing. Hey, I'm trying to. Am I doing any good here? Some of you need to smile. That'd help you. I tell you what. Zealous. Amen. You remember when you first got saved? I don't know. I didn't know nothing about it. It was so exciting in my heart. I walked in there that morning, lost, depressed. Now I ain't boasting on sin, needle tracks in both my arms. Smell of whiskey and beer on my breath. Depressed on my way to hell. I didn't even know what I was doing when I first got there, but 15 out of 12, I was blood washed, born to the Holy Ghost, sealed under the day of redemption. God imputed his righteousness to me that morning because I believe the record that God gave of his son. Amen. He washed my past, present, all my possible sins away in the blood of Christ and gave me eternal life. I didn't know all that happened then. That's just a wonderful day. Somebody said, you can't go on how you feel. That's all I had to go on. When I walked in, guilty, ashamed, depressed. When I went forward, trusted Christ, peace, joy, the burden of guilt rolled away. Hey, don't tell me you can't feel God. Far as you know, y'all say, far as you know, you don't. How am I doing? Amen. I don't go on how I feel, but I sure like to feel what I'm going on, one fellow said. Now, I'll never feel saved on Mondays. Every Baptist preacher hates Mondays. Ain't going to be no Mondays in heaven, just one big Sunday. Hallelujah, amen. I don't like them, amen. I don't even try to be spiritual on Monday. Just get you a high-powered rifle and go kill an animal somewhere. That'll cheer you up, amen. How am I doing right there? Had a tender moment there. You know, when your transmission starts slipping, you ever been to somebody's house to maybe to eat lunch or something? In the backyard, they got this old car, grass up to here. And it still looks really slick, you know, pretty good old car. 20 years old, you say, man. Boy, that thing looks good. He said, yeah. Well, transmission, that part that thrusts you forward and amen, squeals the tires in all four gears. The transmission, it ain't worth fixing now. It's just sitting there rusting down. I sure don't want to be like that as a Christian to you. Just out of the race, sitting in the backyard doing nothing. Amen. Well, let me hurry here. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you something else. When a car overheats too easily, it's headed to the junkyard. Bible said, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, work his hand that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. You edify, may minister grace unto here, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the devil. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. Let all malice be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgive one another as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be angry, sin not. I got the first part of that verse down pretty good. How am I doing now? Somebody said, you ever lose your temper? You're married, you do. I'm not going to be with my wife. She don't get mad and say stuff. She just shows up and won't talk to you. I hate that, don't you? Amen. This is a true story. When I first got saved, I wasn't married. And at the church where I got saved, they'd sing birthday songs. If you had a birthday, then they'd sing anniversary songs. This is a true story. They'd sing, when the battle's over, we should wear our crown. Amen. I found out what that meant when I got married. Hallelujah. I ain't never won one of the fuzzy, but I'm not giving up the fight. Amen. I know I'm right. We promised never to go to bed mad. I've stayed up a week at a time, but I've kept my end of the deal. I'm just trying to tell you. Hallelujah. Well, I hope I didn't embarrass her. She just looks at me like I'm crazy. Truth of the matter is, that's just part of it. Amen. You ever been around somebody can't take no fun and I'm talking about saved people. Oh, hot-headed, quick-tempered, can't take a little joking around or kidding, you know. I don't hang around them people long. I can't take it. Amen. You've seen them, ain't you? When you rub them a little bit, they turn real red and their veins bulge out and the steam starts coming off top of their head and amen. You ever had an old car overheat on you? Everybody else knows it's overheated before you do. Because they can see the steam coming out Monday as you're going down the road. Amen. You're going down the road and that thing goes. All them people you passed on the double yellow line. Amen. They're riding by laughing at you. Are you sitting
that radiator, that steam coming out from under that hood. Amen. You raise that hood and the radiator going, and the cap says, danger. Do not remove while hot. Here's what we'll do. You know what's wrong with that car? It's low on water. You know when somebody's hot-headed and flies off the handle all the time, can't take, they're low on water. They ain't been in this book. They ain't been looking at themselves really good. Am I doing any good right there? Danger. It means give it a little time to cool off. I've been married to her 41 years. Some of y'all been married a long time. You know when it says danger. Isn't that right? Do not remove. I mean, you know how she is. She knows how you are. She knows when you've had a bad day, and you know when she's had a rough day. But you know, we got to put one more stick of kindling on the fire. I'll tell you who's boss around here. You'll find out. You'll find out who boss is. Bible said the woman obey her husband in everything. My wife don't believe that verse no more than any woman in here, but it's in the book. Then he said, husband, love your wife as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He might sanctify and cleanse it with the wash of water by the word. He might present himself a glorious church, having not spot or wrinkle, any such thing, but he should be holy without blame. So ought men to love his wife as his own body. Danger. I'll tell you who's boss around here. You'll find out when that lawyer gets done, you eating free cheese down here in one of these mission houses. Who's the boss? Hey, man, you wish you'd said, whoa, let's get that tool off a little bit. But you know, we just got to say one more word instead of just leaving it alone and letting the Holy Ghost, when I get ill like that, if you just leave me alone a little while, the Holy Ghost can cool me down. He makes me ashamed when I'm act stupid. Am I doing any good right now? Take that off. You know what's going to happen to you? You mess with her when it says danger. You're going to get scalded. That's what you're going to do. Sometimes it means it's got a blowed head gasket. I pastored some Baptists like that. Sometimes it means it's got a cracked head. You mess with her when she's mad, you end up with a cracked head. Amen. So, this little old stuff like that, it's the truth. Amen. It's deep stuff, ain't it? Thank God. And then I'm quitting. There's a whole lot more. I'll tell you, when the cars don't have any fresh oil, whole life of a car, about everything on them is made of some oil product. All the gaskets, plastic fenders, everything else, some kind of, you need fresh oil. When that car doesn't get, I used to have an old Volvo car years ago, said if you travel on pavement all the time, you can change your oil every 5,000 miles. But if you're on a dirt road or dust a lot, you need to get it changed every 3,000 miles. Fresh oil has something to do with how much dirt you're around. Because if you don't change the oil in your car and do the maintenance on it, that oil loses its ability to lubricate the cylinder walls, and it builds up little grit in the oil, and it scratches the cylinder walls. Next thing, that thing's smoking and loses power, and it ain't hardly worth fixing when it gets that bad. It costs so much money. How long's it been since you got into fresh oil? When I first got saved, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I went on how I felt a lot. Amen. I just did. It's kind of like a baby and its mother. The baby can be crying, the dad can pick it up. When that mother picks it up and he feels that mother, it calms down. Now, I used to go to church. I'd go to church and they'd get to singing. Those songs would stir me up on the inside, make me weep and just rejoice, and I could feel his sweet presence. I didn't know all the scriptures about things, about the old nature and the new nature, the flesh lust against the spirit against the flesh. These two be contrary one another, so you could not do. I didn't know how to defend myself with the word of God. I just had the Spirit of God in me, and he'd come by and squeeze me and let me weep and rejoice and just thank God I wasn't going to hell and had peace. And then sometimes I'd get sideways during the week and say something I shouldn't have said or let my temper fly and grieve it.
And when I go to church, I didn't know the scripture about it, but I knew there was something wrong because of what I did, because I could not feel His sweet presence in my heart. Am I making sense? And I'd go to the altar a lot, and I'd hear some of them folks that never went to the altar about nothing say, I wonder if he really got saved. He's always up there on that altar. I didn't have a car. I lived so wicked that I lost my car. And on Monday night, I'd hitchhike. I was too proud to ask somebody. I was a 24-year-old man, wasted. I'd hitchhike to a Bible study at the church, and this guy had come up from a mission house out of Knoxville, Tennessee. He run a mission house. He wore these crazy-looking suits and a bow tie, tennis shoes, and white socks, and his name was Art Jones. And he'd teach us Bible. And one night I said, Brother Jones, I know this young man that's not been saved long, and he struggles a lot and seems like he has to go to the altar a lot. What would be the advice you'd give me to tell him? He said, son, if I was you, if I had to ride that altar all the way to heaven to keep that peace and joy, I'd ride her to heaven. You don't have to go to the altar every service. But I'll tell you what, you've got to go sometime. You got to get some fresh heart. I may have stumbled and staggered a lot along the way. It's been 40-some years. I'm still in the race. I'm headed towards the finish line. And I want to shine better, and I've never been worth what He's paid for. Never. But I do want to finish right. I want to run better, shine better, if I have to ride the altar all the way to heaven. You know, I'd go to the altar, and I think after you got white-headed, because in that church, not many white-headed people ever went to the altar. I thought, Lord, I'd like to get like this 200-some other people in this church where I don't have to come up here. I ain't got there yet. Some of y'all ain't been there lately, but you ain't got there yet either. How am I doing right there? Am I doing any good? I got to have that fresh oil. Please touch me again, Lord. He'll never leave us, never forsake us, but He can take that power away from you. He can let you dry up and remove your candlestick and your effectiveness. How's your vehicle, Donna? You need any fresh oil? How long's it been since you tried to get any? I'm done preaching. You go.